Okay, this is the Town of Heaton Board of Finance regular meeting, December 9th, 2020. And it's a Zoom meeting and we're calling the meeting to order at 7:04. And first on the agenda, number two is roll call and seating of alternates. Judy Buell did text me that she was going to be unable to make it to the meeting tonight. So that she asked that Alyssa Langham be seated for her. If that's okay, Alyssa?
That works, thank you.
Okay, then we'll move on to roll call. We have Ed Edelman, Barry McGinnis, Nick Brown, Diane Gagnon, and Kathy Donahue is here. Also, Kathy Newcomb and Stan Crawford are present as far as members go. Next is citizens' comments. And good evening, Joan. Have any comments?
Kathy.
Well.
I'd like to speak. I just wanted to take some time as a citizen and as the chairman of the Republican Town Committee to tell Perry, thank you very much for everything you've done for the community. Thank you for your research and for your knowledge of the law and how to apply it in its interpretation. And good luck to you. We're going to miss you. And you're always there to fill in or stand up and say what has got to be said. So thank you very much. Maybe other people don't appreciate your worth, but we do, the community. Thank you.
I second that.
Well, thank you very much.
Were there any other comments from audience for citizens? Okay, hearing none, I'll move on to the approval of minutes of November 16th special meeting. Do I have a motion for approval?
Make a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll second.
Motion made by Diane Gagnon, seconded by Ed Edelman. Okay, discussion, any corrections or additions to the minutes? Okay. Hearing none, I'll call for a vote. Ed Edelman?
Aye.
Perry McGinnis?
I vote aye.
Nick Brown?
Aye.
Diane Gagnon?
Aye.
Alyssa Langick? Oh, she dropped off for some reason. Hang on, I had to let her back in. She dropped off for some reason. Okay, Alyssa, can you hear us now? You dropped off. I'm glad I can see you on the screen now.
Yes, I can. Sorry about that. My connection dropped off.
Okay, we're on number four, approval of minutes of November 16th special meeting. I asked for any additions or corrections since you dropped off. And we had just started the roll call for the vote when we came to your name. You got to please unmute yourself.
So I have no additions.
Okay.
And so aye.
Okay, thank you. And Kathy Donahue, aye. Okay, so that's unanimous. And so we'll move on to the next thing. I do not have any presentations tonight. So we'll move on to reports and actions. I still don't see Mr. Cahill. So we'll move on to the tax collector report, which is 6B. I sent this out to everyone. This is as of the end of October, and our collection rate is at 57.6%, which is very good considering the COVID and everything else that's happened. To date, we've collected $2,213,536.28. There have been some refunds and one insufficient funds, which did reduce that. And that's it for the tax collector's report. Treasurer, Ellen, you're up next. Ellen, you have to unmute yourself.
Okay, so I have three transfer requests, $20 to assessor supply from assessor clerk, $2,200 to election other workers from contingency, $200 to election postage and supplies from election cards and ballots, please.
Okay, the larger one, the $2,200 to election other workers from contingency, that part of that, I believe, is COVID related. I didn't get the breakdown. Dana, if you could come on, I haven't spoken to Mary, but can you explain some of the related expenses due to COVID around this?
Okay, so one of the things was, can you hear me? There's like a reverb. One of the things was that we had to have a moderator for absentee ballots. That's one of the other workers' costs. And we also had to have an additional absentee ballot counter. So we had three instead of two. The absentee ballot counter is usually put in an hour on election night. It's usually about, 20 or 30. That wasn't the case. They worked from, 8 o'clock in the morning for a number of hours and then returned for a number more. That's one thing, the absentee ballots. We hired constables. And that was because we changed the venue, and that was at the suggestion of the Secretary of State. We didn't change the entire venue. We went from the upper level to the lower level. But because we did that, and the selectmen did not supply any signage that could assist people in getting down to where they belonged, they requested that we hire people to direct people to where they could go, both for the balloting and for the curbside ballots. We also had to hire, because of COVID, we had to hire additional staffing at the door where people came in. They call them greeters. And we don't usually fill that role, though the statute says we can. The greeter was actually a person that was making sure that social distancing was occurring and that people were all coming in with masks. Which was another reason we had a constable. The Secretary of State kept changing its mind on whether or not we could have demand that people wear masks, and the end result was that we could. So that's another reason we had constables there. And then we also doubled up on every position in the event that at the last minute, every position could lose somebody due to COVID, and three positions. As it turned out, the night before the election, three people that were supposed to work could not. So it was a good thing that we planned to have additional people in the wings, at least, to overlap, because they were there. So that's quite a bit of people. The postage as well, that's COVID related, because that was the postage attached to the absentee ballots. That's it. Thanks.
Okay, the other thing was that part of the reason that the election of the workers was over, I thought, was because the primary did not happen in the previous year, landed up in this year. Is that correct?
That's correct, too. Yeah, it was postponed. It was supposed to be a lot earlier. It wasn't supposed to be in August. We were supposed to be in April primary. Yep. And that is expensive, too, because you have to have both parties represented in all those places. It wasn't, as costly as the presidential, but you have to have both parties fully represented in all those areas of absentee and checker and ballot clerk and tabulator tender and moderator and all of that. So yeah, that got set up on this fiscal year where it was supposed to be last.
All right. So the $200 for election postage was COVID related for the absentee ballots. And then, the $2,200, we don't have an exact amount how much of that is COVID related at this point. But you could be, if you and Mary work together, you would be able to break that down, because we might be able to get reimbursements for some of that.
Yeah, we could do that next Tuesday for sure.
Okay.
We also, I don't know if you realize that we had two deposits from the state, a total of $3,600 for the purpose of election. So we did receive that, but it stays in the income line and doesn't offset the expense line directly.
So we did receive money to be able to offset some of these expenditures. So there, Ellen, as far as accessing that income, that doesn't get put into another fund in order for us to balance it.
Just it was posted to other state funding and the income side.
Okay. So I need a motion.
I have a question for Dana regarding the postage for the absentee ballots. Was it regular first class postage that was on the absentee ballots?
I can't tell you yet. I have nothing to do with absentee ballots. We only, our office only funds them, but okay. All the other details concerning absentee ballots come out of the town clerk's office.
Okay. Well, let me just say, I'm assuming if it was, it's roughly 50 cents a shot. And if you said it was $200, that would mean perhaps 400 absentee ballots in it. Seems to me that were there more than 400 absentee ballots? I would think that there were. No,
there were 300 and change. We had more than 800 people came in.
Mm-hmm.
Majority of people came in. So, you know, 2/3 of the people voted in person and 1/3 voted by absentee ballot. But they still got all those ballots, the application sent to every voter and all of that.
Right.
And a lot of people who received the absentee ballots, they came in and voted instead, but they held on to those ballots just in case something happened or they got COVID at the last minute. So that the postage still went out, you know, to them. Yeah.
So it's actually postage two ways, right? I mean,
yes.
Postage is sent out. And postage to bring it back in.
That's right. Yeah.
But if you dropped it in the drop box, then there was no postage charge.
Correct.
For incoming. Okay.
There was actually quite a bit of postage expense already posted to the COVID line. The town clerk used a credit card to purchase a lot of stamps. So I'm not sure if the $200 represents additional election related.
Yeah. Okay.
Stamps, but there was a lot more money spent on postage, but it's already in the COVID account.
Thank you.
Okay, so do we want to move the $200 for the election postage into the COVID line then, if that's related to the absentee ballots, or we just want to leave that as it is? Well, it's still within the department, so it's fine. Okay, I would need a motion to make these changes. And to accept these transfers. Do I have a motion?
Motion to accept transfers.
Do I have a second?
I'll second the motion.
Okay.
I'll second.
Motion made by Diane Gagnon and seconded by Perry McGinnis. Is there any other discussions on these motions? Okay, hearing none, I'll do the vote call. Ed Edelman?
Aye.
Perry McGinnis?
I vote aye.
Nick Brown?
Nick Brown, aye.
Diane Gagnon?
Aye.
Alyssa Langan?
Aye.
And Kathy Donahue, aye. Okay. So that takes care of the transfers. We're moving on. One thing I was concerned about, Ellen, is looking at the financial statements. It looks like the town clerk's assistant is running high as far as how much has been used for that so far this year. I don't know if her other... I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say that, yes, that happened last fiscal year as well. And after the budgeted hours were used, the town clerk decided to use some of her capital non-recurring town clerk discretionary funds to pay for the clerk's salary, which I anticipate will happen again this year.
Okay, thank you. Okay, then we're moving on to D, which is Board of Education. Joan Fox is here, who serves on our Regional 11 Board of Education. So Joan, would you like to report?
Parish Hill went to full remote learning today because of some COVID cases that have been discovered at the school, and will not come back to school in person until after the Christmas break.
Okay, they also did hire a new business manager who I have reached out to. I again reached out about the lack of their financial reports. And Mr. Enrisi is supposed to have the new business finance manager and Carol send me the reports. I requested them from the beginning of the year on. There seemed to be some confusion when COVID started in March, and that's when the breakdown of communication stopped. I also requested the copy of the most recent two audits, so we should be receiving those also. And once I receive them, I will be emailing them out to the board as whole. And then Board of Education, I do not see anybody here from the Elementary Board of Education. I did attend their Operations Finance Committee meeting. They discuss paving on the parking lot out front is going to be held off this spring, which probably will require some new estimates. They also discussed they're beginning to put together next year's budget. The insurance costs look like they may range increase-wise from 7% to 10%. They also discuss that there may be a future need for additional expenses for special education. They're not sure of that yet. It depends what happens with the IEPs that are involved, but that was a pretty large amount also, anywhere from $70,000 up. So I just wanted to make people aware of that as far as their budget moving forward. And that's about it for them. Ed will be reporting on the negotiations. Ed, can you report on the negotiations?
Yeah, I'm happy to do that now. I was just looking. I didn't see it on the agenda anywhere. Okay. So there was a mediation meeting back in second week of November, and an agreement was reached, which was signed by the board chair and the head of the HEA union. And I just checked with Rose recently because I hadn't heard much about it, anticipating that, you know, it would have gone to the teachers union for approval and then to the Board of Ed for approval. Well, neither of those things has been done yet. So although the contract's been approved, Rose said the teachers are supposed to meet later this week and the board will meet next week to verify or certify whatever the results of the mediation. So that's where we're at this point. So therefore I can't really discuss any of the matters because it's still an open deal.
Thank you. I guess that's it for Board of Education. Moving on to Board of Finance Committees, the Policies and Procedures Committees. I put review draft of policies and procedures. We obviously aren't going to go into detail on that tonight because they just came to you today, this morning. That draft still has some areas that need to be worked on, a few areas. But I wanted to give it to you since it was a lengthy document and give you a chance to familiarize yourself with it. We also are looking at a second set, which would be Board of Finance, Budget Management Policies and Procedures for Town Agencies. And that'll be forwarded to you also in a draft version. But I just wanted to get you up to date on where we were at. We started with the Conference Towns Policies and Procedures, and Ellen and Alan have been attending the meetings with Judy Buell, Kathy Newcomb, and I, and we've all been working on this together. Kathy, do you have anything to add?
No, that covers it. Thank you.
Okay, did everybody get that, the draft?
Yes, I did. I was impressed with the detail in it, too. I had no idea that you guys were diving in that deeply.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, both Ellen and Al have helped considerably on that. We started with Pomfret's, and so we used theirs as a template. But, you know, still a work in progress. Our next meeting is in the first week of January.
Kathy, a quick question. Would you expect us to be ready by the next meeting to vote on something, or?
Yeah, I would expect there's not going to be major changes to the policies and procedures that the draft I sent out tonight. The other one is only, the one that's for the agencies is only a three-page document. Or four, because I have a sign-off sheet. So I'll be sending that out before the January meeting too. So you have the drafts. So we'll highlight the changes that are made to the first draft that you got. But yeah, we should be able to have some discussion and at least maybe do a preliminary approval on them and then a final approval in the following month. I just wanted to make sure that we had all the information in them that we wanted to, but I didn't want to bomb you with it like right before a meeting in order to be able to discuss it.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, hang on a second. Under other, I do not have any other correspondence. The Board of Finance email, I did not receive any correspondence. I did receive something from the attorney's office that said that they were forwarding the information that the auditor had requested from them from the previous letter. And then correspondence, other correspondence I did receive an email from Gary Greenberg, who's the first selectman of Scotland. Personal email. I had attended the Board of Selectmen meeting on Monday. Alan has met with the two first selectmen and the two Board of Education chairs of both Scotland and Hampton Elementary and the two superintendents, and they were discussing shared services, cooperative agreements, and just a basic discussion. I couldn't attend that meeting, as you remember last month. Alan told us that meeting was going to happen. I asked if I could attend the next one. Alan agreed. I did get an invitation back from Mr. Greenberg. And I guess I'm going to read this into the record because it has some information about what's happening at the other meeting. It says, "Hi, Kathy. Alan tells me you would like to be included in the meeting this week with the chairs of our Board of Education and superintendents. I apologize for not reaching out to you directly. As you know, Scotland does not have a separate Board of Finance, so it didn't occur to me to invite you. Of course, you are welcome to attend. I'll send you a link as soon as I create one. To bring you up to date, I asked for this meeting because I thought we should begin to work together to address what looks like a long-term trend toward unsustainability for schools in both towns. Specifically, I wanted to discuss the possibility of cooperative agreements between Hampton and Scotland that would make for significant cost savings. Everyone seemed to agree with that this was worth looking into, and Rose Brisson agreed to approach the Hampton Board of Ed's attorney to get an overview of the range of possibilities for cooperation. Scotland will be paying half of that bill. At the meeting on Thursday, I hope to hear what the lawyers had to say and to begin to lay out the options. I'm sure their perspective of the Board of Finance will be useful in doing that. And then again, I'm not sorry to not have included you from the beginning. I am looking forward to your contribution to what I hope will be a fruitful discussion for both towns." And then there was there's an email chain to this. He had reached out to Rose Bisson. Hang on. He then reached out to Rose. I want to arrange our Zoom call for Thursday, but thought I'd make sure you heard back from your attorney about our query, have you? Also, Alan tells me that Kathy Donahue would like to attend as a representative of the Board of Finance. We don't have one of those in Scotland. The Board of Selectmen serves in that capacity, so I think she will be there. Let me know where we stand, and I will send out a link. Rose Bisson responded, I haven't heard from the lawyer yet. She's researching the issues. However, I am concerned about the amount of talk there is in the community about our meetings. I am also concerned that the Hampton Board of Finance is being given a seat at the table when the rest of the public isn't. I think a committee should be formed and we should be holding public meetings that are appropriately posted. Do you have a preference of which board should appoint the committee and post the meetings? This was all, that was, first one was December 8th, second one was December 9th. And there was another response on December 9th from the first electman of Scotland. And he said that, I think that creating an ad hoc committee with representation from various stakeholders is a good idea for many reasons. I think that a useful outcome of our informal meetings would be just that to propose an official committee and figure out who should be part of it and under what ages and what sort of thing and that sort of thing. It would be useful for our informal meetings to conclude that combining services in some way is not worth exploring at this time, so as not to waste time or stir up public controversy for no reason. I should have been clear at the outset that figuring out if there was enough of a reason for and enough interest in forming a committee is what I had in mind. I still believe there's a viable approach, and that is why I was hoping to hear that the possibilities before we decided what to do next. But if you think we are in danger of keeping something hidden that should be public or otherwise killing the possibility of cooperation and of its infancy, or if you just plain think it's a bad idea to continue to work informally, then let's rethink this from the beginning. I'm not aware of scuttlebutt, but I'm sure there is some. I've not hidden the fact that we are discussing this, as I believe it is our right and our duty to do, for the reasons I spelled above. As for the Board of Finance question, bear in mind that Scotland's Board of Finance has been part of this all along, as I am the chair of that board as well. So had I thought this through, I would have asked her in the first place. If you want to abandon the effort at this point in favor of some other approach or no approach at all, I would understand. I don't think we can or should continue without you or anyone else. So please let me know how you want to proceed. And then he, please note that I'm including everyone in this email chain. Al did respond also and said, good day all. First of all, there is no scuttlebutt on record to the Hampton Board of Education, Board of Finance, and Board of Selectmen, that it is our responsibility as elected officials to investigate all potential strategies of collaboration to ensure sustainable education. Chairperson Brisson wanted to seek legal counsel on behalf of the Board of Eds to qualify our goals are statutorily correct. Once our parameters are set, we can form a committee. Time and money is not trending in our favor. And that was signed by Alan. So I don't know whether there's going to be another meeting at this point. It seems to be that it will be decided moving forward. And it looks like it will be an ad hoc committee meeting, and it will form groups from different for different representation. But I just wanted to bring the board up to date as a whole. I also think that any meetings that are discussing education and any changes to education should be public meetings and be available to everyone. So I agree with that also. Are there any questions? Okay. Hearing none, I'll move on. Funding of airline trail pamphlet and trail completion. Dana received a correspondence letter that was in our Board of Finance email. Dana, can you read the letter?
The letter addressed to you?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Closed is a signed agreement from the Eastern Regional Tourism District granting the matching funds for the proposed airline trail map program, which Hampton will be included in. Connecticut Resource Conservation and Development Area, Inc. is leading up to the project and would like to collect up the funds from the participating towns. The amount due is $3,000, and I'm not sure who issues the check, but I thought if it doesn't come from the Board of Finance directly, perhaps you could hand it along to whomever would be responsible. Also included in here is the W-9 for the CTRC&D, which would be necessary for bookkeeping. And then it is signed, please let me know if you have any questions, and it's signed Laura McCabe. And then what's enclosed is all the grant requirements.
Okay, Ellen, did you get a copy of the grant requirements? And I believe, Ellen,
No,
grant.
I didn't.
No. So that's been a meeting. Stan had asked a question about that. I don't know if he's in chat at this point. Stan had asked a question if this at the Board of Selectmen's meeting. Has a check been cut for that at this point or no?
No.
Okay. So that would be an additional transfer. Dana, is there a date on the requirements on that letter?
The letter itself and the guidelines was dated November 5th. You're talking about a deadline or something?
Yeah. This was in our mailbox just last Thursday, correct?
Yep. Program selected. The only date here is program selected under this grant process must be completed by the end of this fiscal year, June 30th, 2021. But there's no other dates here on the guidelines.
Okay. So we did vote in support of, the Finance Board did vote in support of this. Ellen, and we also had a very generous donation offered by the Newcomb family. So Ellen, to set that up, if we paid that out of and transferred money out of contingency, then people would donate. There are other people who I know want to donate. They can donate the money back to the town just under town of Hampton against this trail, or how would we handle that?
I'm not sure if it would, I don't know that it could be deposited back into the contingency account. It may be considered like a donation income that would offset it, but not directly.
I just didn't know how to handle as far as, so people, because there are other people that I know of that want to donate to this, so they would just make the check out to the town of Hampton. And
just make a notation in the memo.
For the purposes of that. Okay. All right, Dan, can you, I know that you had asked Shannon to scan that in and make a copy. Can you get a copy of that to Ellen so she has the information that she needs?
Yes.
And
so are you planning to make a transfer tonight to fund that, or?
I'd like to get the information to you and we'll do a transfer at the next meeting or hold a quick meeting to transfer the amount once you have the information that you need.
You don't want me to actually pay for it until you've transferred the money.
Yeah, I would like to have it be done that way. Is everybody in agreement on that, or any comments on this?
Are we voting?
Well, I'd like Ellen to have the paperwork first, and I'd like to reach out to Laura McCabe.
We had, I believe this was something Perry brought up at one point, that the sequence of transfer should actually be approval before the checks, and that's kind of what you want to do now on this one. Are we sort of aiming in that direction for transfers in the future as well?
Yeah, that's part of when I said there was another budget management policies and procedures for town agencies. Yeah, that the expenditures, if they're within the budget itself of the department, then yeah, money can be transferred around that way. But if it's outside of that we approve the transfer and then payment, that's the policy I'd like to see moving forward. So I'd like to get the paperwork to Ellen, and then, you know, if I'll talk to Laura McCabe, and if it's an immediate thing, we can just have a quick special meeting to approve the transfer, but I'll find out the dates that it needs to go in by. Okay, next is new business 9A, development of calendar for budget process. Usually I believe we send out, we have sent out, I'm not sure whether Ellen or Dana sends out the request for budgets for the following year. Dana?
I think I have like a form letter, and I send out the request for budgets and for the annual report. And I ask that the budget submissions be submitted to Ellen and the annual report submissions to the First Selectman's office.
Okay, so you have that letter, because I'd like to see that. I know we usually don't send that letter out to the beginning of January, but due to COVID and people not being in their offices as often, I'd like to see the letter go out as soon as possible. Is everybody in agreement on that?
Okay.
Does anybody else have any questions or comments on that? No? Okay. Next is communication to departments for budget requests and submissions to the annual report. The calendar and developing a calendar. So if we send that out in January, hang on just a minute, the sample calendar. I'd like to develop a calendar in January's meeting. So if we send out the request for the proposals and the annual, their submissions for the annual report, maybe in January we can have a regular budget calendar and discuss that. So just so that we have timelines and dates out there, I just would feel better if it was, if we had some goals that way. Does anybody have any comments on that? Diane?
Makes good sense.
Nick?
Nope.
Makes good sense.
Thank you, Nick. I pulled a budget in a Board of Finance budget calendar working copy from Chaplin's Board of Finance, and I'll send that around to people after this meeting and post it so people can see it. I just think that way it also makes the agencies and the people who are asking for the budgets the timeline, what we're looking for. Okay. Next is access to Board of Finance email account. Alyssa had some questions on this last meeting, and so this is on the agenda. Go ahead, Alyssa.
Yeah, I was just wondering who had access to the email account, just because it's the general Board of Finance is the name, and who responds to that and the responsibilities around it.
Okay. When it was originally set up, the tech person set it up. Alan had access to it because he has the password. I never changed the password. I also never deleted anything that came in. The way we've been handling it now is that both Kathy Newcomb and I have the password, and we've been checking the email on a regular basis. If there's something that needs a response, then I respond as chair. Everything that's come to that account, I've emailed out to all of the members of the Board of Education, and I've also attached during the budget season sessions, we've attached those letters to the minutes so that people can see the correspondence. I believe that we've also put some of the correspondence that we've gotten recently, we've attached that also and put it on as part of documents, some of them that were relevant. I don't know if there's anything else. Are there any other questions? Or
no, I wanted to just be aware that, and really public knowledge, who has access and who's responsible for that and who knows the passwords.
Okay, yeah. If I try to check it on a daily basis, sometimes I don't. That's why I ask Kathy to check with me also, depending on what my schedule looks like. But I do try to send them out as soon as possible to the board members so they can see them also. anything that comes in. But as of last month to this month, we didn't have any new correspondence in the Board of Finance email.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, seat grant match is next. Alan, transfer from and to accounts. And I believe we have to transfer the whole amount because then we get the match back afterwards instead of getting the match at right of way as we had in the past. I have the letter in front of me about the steep grant. Let's see, $67,000. So it'll be twice that. So it would be $134,000 that would be accessible for the work that needs to be done. Ellen, do you have the accounts transfer from and to for that?
I imagine it would be the unassigned fund balance. And I will create a liability account called state grant.
Okay. Okay, we need to do that. So can I have a motion to move $134,000? Is that the correct amount, Ellen? Double check me.
I've never seen the document, so I can't swear.
Okay. Well, I have the document in front of me. The project name was Roof Replacement and Site Repairs, Town Hall Community Center. And then it was Governor Mott and I would like to congratulate you and the Town of Hampton on your $67,000 grant through the 2020 Small Town Economic Assistance Program STEEP for the following projects. Please keep in mind, and it goes on to say, please confirm your award no later than 12/9 by continuing contacting Acting Undersecretary Martin Heft at the Office of Policy and Management. And then it goes on, I believe Alan was taking care of this. Please keep in mind that your receipt of these STEEP funds will be contingent upon your compliance with the rules and regulations of the agency and that administers your award and reimbursements of funds will not occur without a fully executed agreement between the municipality and the state administering agency. And I do believe he hadn't received the agreement yet, is what got reported in the Board of Selectmen meeting. So the transfer of funds would be $134,000. So I would need a motion to move $134,000 from the unassigned fund into a steep grant reserve fund that Ellen will create.
I'll make the motion.
Oh. Excuse me just a second. Are you saying I should put this in the capital non-recurring fund or the general fund?
I thought you just said you were going to create a reserve fund for a steep grant.
A liability account, I could do that in either fund, the general fund or the capital non-recurring fund.
Let's do it in the capital non-recurring.
Okay.
I mean, is one... What do you recommend?
I don't think it matters.
You don't think it matters? Okay, so let's do it in the capital non-recurring. So it appears there. Diane Gagnon made the motion. Did I hear a second? I'm sorry.
I'll second.
Okay, Ed Adam, second. Did any other discussion on this? Okay, hearing none. Then I will call for the vote on this. Ed Adelman?
Aye.
Barry McInnes?
Aye.
Nick Brown?
Aye.
Diane Gagnon?
Aye.
Melissa Langan?
Aye.
And Kathy Donahue? Aye. I also believe that the money's already been transferred for the backhoe, correct, Ellen?
Yeah.
At the Board of Selectmen meeting, the order has been filled and it should be about 2 weeks to delivery, just for an update on that.
Okay.
Any additions to agenda? Okay, hearing none. I'm going to be sending the board members of, I don't know if everybody reads regularly the Connecticut Mirror or not, but there's a lot of financial information in there on reporting on state budgets, et cetera. But although we have a huge reserve at this point, they're looking at a significant deficit, $4.3 billion, I believe. State officials are facing almost $4.3 billion in Reading for the next two-year budget, due largely to the coronavirus-induced recession, according to any report. There's a report on this here, and I just want to send it out to you so that you're aware of, you know, what's happening on the state budget side of things. The other thing is that the ECS grant drop for this year would be another $55,596, and that's that 10-year program where they were equalizing out the grants and providing more to at-risk districts and urban districts, so that we will receive a cut for that. I do not know if that's going to change due to the COVID situation, whether they're going to freeze that or not. Also, you know, you get cut depending on drop in enrollment, and we have had a drop in enrollment. I do believe I sent everybody the enrollment sheets for both Region 11 and for Hampton Elementary School. Okay, I guess I'm back to citizens' comments. Does anyone wish to speak as a citizen? Okay, well, I do. And
I will.
I'll wait, though.
Okay.
I'll go last.
Regarding Perry's moving on, I wanted to thank him for his service to the board as a good, dedicated board member, and I wish him well in the future. And he's got a whole other set of statutes to learn about now.
No. I'm retiring from public service.
Oh, come on.
I don't think so. I think you'll be involved somewhere.
Gary will never retire.
Kathy Donahue, I'd like to speak also as board chair. I would like to thank Perry for his many years of service to the board. His knowledge base, his mentoring of me and my knowledge base as far as the statutes and information surrounding the finance board. I appreciate your service, as I do of all the members who dedicate their time to different boards in our town, but thank you for your service to us. Are there any other comments from the audience?
Yes, Nick Brown, I just wanted to add and second Ed and Kathy's comments. Thank you, Perry, for sure. All of your time and service.
And to that, I wanted to I just wanted to say thanks to everyone on the board, especially Kathy and Ed, for all the help, you know, the participation on the bylaws. I got to be part of the committee that put together the ordinance originally for the Board of Finance. And you guys know that I did a change to the board that passed at a town meeting, you know, worked on a lot of the administrative and the legal part of things. I just wanted to say I really believe in the concept and the institution of the Board of Finance at the local level. And I think it's a great thing for townspeople to participate in. And you should all be proud. And, you know, I thank you for your service, you know, in helping us formalize the institutional law and ingrain it in the town so that, you know, you guys can put your heads together and help guide the town in what's going to be some financially difficult times coming up. So thank all of you.
Thank you. Are there any other citizens who'd like to speak at this point? Our board members? No? Okay. Moving on to suggestions for next agenda. So the budget calendar will be on the next agenda. If the money's required ahead of time, I'll request just a quick brief meeting for this, a special meeting for the funding for the trails. If not the airline trails, that will be the transfer. We'll make sure we have the transfers on for that next time. All the regular reports, the two drafts for the policies and procedures, that will be on also. And I guess that's it. Does anybody else have anything else to add for future agenda? Okay, hearing none. As always, you can send something to the Board of Finance email or to my email personally, which you all have. And I guess that's it for that, for suggestions, date, time, and place of next meeting. Dana, what's the next date?
I should do this with a calendar in front of me, but I'm afraid I don't have one.
Calendar.
I think it's going to be January 13th.
January 13th. Okay. Oh, at that next meeting also, Dana, I'd like to add some work sessions for the budget. You know, discussion of dates for the work sessions for the budget. Okay. I guess that's it. I'd like to thank everybody for attending tonight and wish you all happy holidays and that you all stay healthy. And I will see you again soon. Thank you. Have a good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
It's nice meeting.